Dear friends in Jesus Christ, good to have you with us on this New Year's Eve, 2025. It's common for our lives to become cluttered, complicated, worldly. Maybe I'm talking about my own life here. Maybe you can relate to that, though. Does your life sometimes become cluttered and complicated and worldly? Well, if it does, on certain occasions, so I have a little list here on what occasions might be fitting. So on the occasion of a new year, a birthday, maybe after a long illness, maybe after the death of a loved one, maybe at the ending of an important relationship. These are times where I believe it is healthy to evaluate our lives. It's healthy to leave our sins and foolishness behind, and it's also healthy to step into the future with clarity and with optimism. Those are things I'm hoping for in my life, and may God grant you similar blessings. I want to share with you 11 different Bible passages today. I'm going to touch on them briefly, but may the Holy Spirit grant us guidance. May he help us to follow through with what the Bible says, and may he grant us countless blessings in the process. Let's take a look here. The first passage, Isaiah chapter 43, picking up in verse 18. This is my comment on the passage, then I'll share the passage. Let us unchain ourselves from the past and know that all things are possible with God. It says here in Isaiah 43, do not ponder things of the past. If you look at the context there, God is saying to the people, don't be all focused on when I brought you out of Egypt, when I parted the Red Sea, when I fed you with manna. Don't be all focused on that type of thing. Why? Behold, I will do something new, something greater, something like actually sending the Messiah to take away your sins and the sins of the whole world. And then the Bible says, now it will spring forth. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So you have to think about the great contrast with those couple things. Isn't that kind of shocking to think about a roadway in the wilderness or a river in the desert? God wants us to know these are going to be huge, monumental changes that he has coming. That's what he wants the people to understand. May we remember the Lord's past blessings. And when we remember them, let us make sure we give thanks. But let us especially look forward to the awesome blessings that are coming for each of us when we are finally with God forever through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our second passage, Lamentations 3, let us recall these words every day, the Lord's loving kindnesses. What does that mean? We're talking about the love, the great love that the Lord has for us and the generous things he does for us. We are so blessed. He's so generous. We don't deserve it. So the Lord's loving kindnesses, look at the good news, indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. So we declare, great is your faithfulness. Wow. Did you notice there? They never cease, and they are new every morning, not just every year, but every single morning. Let's remember these things and let us rejoice in our great God and the goodness he shows to us. Third passage, 2 Corinthians 5:17, very familiar passage here. Let us remember who we are through knowing Jesus, or maybe I should say, let us remember who God has made us to be through knowing Jesus. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So understanding that now in Christ, we are the very children of God. So what should we do? We should let go of the old. Now I'm talking about the old things that are negative, sinful, and so on. Let us let go of the old and let us go forward and let us live lives as God's holy children. Let us live lives as the people God has made us to be. Fourth passage, Jeremiah 29, a very familiar one here. Let us permit the joy of God's plans to dominate our thoughts. The Lord declared, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Let us be confident that as we're reading the Bible, it is filled with promises, isn't it? So many wonderful promises. Let's know that not a single promise can fail. So let us hang on to them with complete confidence, knowing that God will keep every single one of them. Passage 5, Philippians 1:6, again, a familiar one. Let's know that God will finish what he has started. Maybe sometimes we don't accomplish that, but God, he's going to do what he has started. The passage here, for I am confident of this very thing, Paul writes, that he, talking about God, he who began a good work of salvation in you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So let's understand, God has begun it. So God is the one who chose us. God is the one who saved us. So what's important for us now? Let us cooperate with the work of God in our lives. That's the best thing to do. We know when children don't cooperate with their parents, not the best situation. So do you think it's going to work out good when we don't cooperate with God our Father in heaven? No, that's not good either. So may God help us to cooperate gladly with our Heavenly Father, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number 6, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, again very familiar. Let's understand that it's normal and natural for us to do what we desire. But what is best, though, the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So what does that mean here? Well, it's important that we are open to God's word. See, if we're focused on what we want, then we're closed off to God's word. But when we are open to God's word, that's the first step. What is the second step? Believing that whatever God's word says is best. Even if it doesn't feel that way, even if we don't think that that is true, let us be confident because it is God's word. Let us be confident that it is best. And then, this is maybe the hardest part. But okay, we have the word of God. We're confident that it is best. So what are we going to do with it then? Let us follow that word of God in every situation of life. Not so easy, but so important. Okay, so that's some 6 down and 5 to go. Passage number 7, Psalm 32:8. Of course, Psalm 32 is one of those great confessions of David. But here, though, let's keep in mind, we are not on our own. Sometimes we can feel that way, but we are not on our own. The Lord said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. How should we respond to that? Let us pay close attention to the Lord. Let us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let us follow his teaching, and let us be at peace because he is watching over us. We are not on our own. He is watching over us. He has his eye upon us. What a great blessing. Number 8, Ephesians chapter 4, picking up in verse 22, let us put off the old and put on the new. In reference to your former manner of life, talking about before we were in Christ, in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. In other words, the meaning there, being corrupted in accordance with the desires of dishonesty. In other words, that's the way in which the sinful world is dealing with us. The sinful world wants to give us wrong desires. They tell us the desires are proper, but actually they're being dishonest with us. The world is lying to us, so we have to be careful. So lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So when we are tempted to sin, and our response is that, oh, I'm being tempted, I kind of like that, I actually want to sin, what should we conclude? We should conclude something dishonest is going on here. Somebody is lying to me. That should be our conclusion. Even though our old nature, when we're tempted, our old nature is like, yes, go for it, good idea. Kind of what Adam and Eve got, isn't it? But our old nature is saying yes, but may our new nature step in. May our new nature dominate. May our new nature say no. And may God help us to gladly go his way. As we go from 2025, soon stepping into 2026, this is an excellent time to identify and get rid of our old bad habits and then replace them with new ones, but not just any old new ones. Let's replace them with ones that align with the Word of God. Good idea? Can I hear an amen?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. So how about number 9 here, Philippians chapter 3, picking up in verse 13. So what Paul did was not easy, but it's important for all believers. The Bible says, this is what Paul wrote to those in Philippi, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of the fullness of eternal life yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So thinking about Paul, he could have been very depressed about his past sins. What were they, or what do we think about with Paul? He was severely persecuting followers of Christ, even arresting them for the purpose that they would be put to death. Like, he could have been overwhelmed with that. But instead, though, he knew that by God's grace, only by God's grace, he knew his sins were forgiven in Christ. He also knew from Psalm 103, he knew that God had taken him and separated his sins from him as far as the east is from the west. Are those things true just about Paul? No, they're true also for you and me, that by God's grace we are forgiven. God has taken us and our sins, and even though they might feel like this, God wants us to know he has placed an infinite distance between us and our sins. Therefore, what did Paul do? What should we do? Let us focus on living for Jesus, not getting all caught up in the past, but going forward, living for Jesus, and looking forward to finally dying in Christ and being called home to paradise. Sound pretty good? Can you imagine a vacation that would be better than paradise with God? No, that is the ultimate vacation, and it is free because Jesus paid the entire price. Number 10 here, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. So I have a little bit longer introduction here. So much of life is about attitude, isn't it? So thinking about different attitude type things, how we view the Bible, how we interact with others, how we deal with difficult situations, how we approach our work. Here is some great advice from the Bible. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. So think about it like this. Even though we see our boss, so if we're an employee and we have an employer, even though we see our boss, let us remember that our ultimate boss is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our ultimate boss. He is the Son of God. He took away our sins. He is fully aware of our job situation. Sometimes people might say, look how miserable I am. God doesn't even know what's going on, and God's doing nothing to help me. Oh no, those things are never true. God's always fully aware, but he's saying, you're in that situation now, and you might not be tomorrow, but right now you're in that situation, and you do your best. You serve as if Jesus Christ is your actual boss that you can see. Now, we can't see him, but by faith, we know he is our ultimate boss. Therefore, regardless of our circumstances, whether they are good or bad, let us do our very best unto God's glory. Think about this. When we function like that in our jobs, the Holy Spirit might even use us to transform our miserable boss into maybe our brother or sister in Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? So does God want to work through us like that and make a difference in the lives of others? If our job is difficult and if we groan and complain about it, that's not going to make a difference in the life of our boss. But when we do it to God's glory, God can use that to catch his or her attention and make an eternal difference. The last one here, Psalm 37, how are we living for the Lord? So do we find ourselves forcing ourselves to do the will of God or doing so gladly because we know his ways are best? The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. So did you catch the huge promise that we have right there? When we gladly seek to know and to follow the will of the Lord, he will give us those desires that are deep and that are pure within our hearts. The world says, nope, it'll never happen. However, though, what does the Bible say to Bible-believing Christians? The Bible tells us, don't buy into the lie. Whatever God says, he will certainly do it. What is the trick, maybe? The trick is that we need God to work in each of our hearts and lives more and more. So what's in our heart is in alignment with the Bible, and when that is true, then God is going to grant the desires of our hearts because they are in alignment with the will of God as laid out in God's holy word. May God keep working that more and more within us. May 2026 be a year where we kind of take a big step forward in that direction. May God grant us a most blessed year of just so many things being different, so many things being positive, so many ways in which we are living with purpose because we are open to God working through us in order to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your holy word, and we pray that you would help us as this year ends, help us as the new year begins, help us to go forward, always believing the Bible is true, and help us to go forward gladly, putting it into practice unto your glory. And as we do so, may you bless us and may you use us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.